ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं तदाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो हरे रामो राम रामो हरे हरे।
So we are beginning the 18th chapter of the 5th canto. Chapter is entitled The Residents of the Jambodvipa Offer Prayers. So these two chapters and also the previous chapter, the part of the previous chapter. So basically these three chapters contain the prayers offered by the residents of Jambudvipa. There are 9 tracts of land in the Jambudvipa, starting with Ilavrita Varsha, Hari Varsha, Ramyaka Varsha, Ketumala Varsha, Badrasha Varsha, Bharat Varsha, etc. So in these 9 tracts of land, there are different deities of the Supreme Lord which are present, and the residents of the respective tract of land, headed by the particular leader of that community, they worship this, the form of the Lord, and they offer beautiful prayers. So these two chapters contain very wonderful prayers offered to the Lord, and there are many nice purports written by Srila Prabhupada. So we'll try to go through as far as possible. Because from the 5th canto onwards, we saw that Prabhupada gives a chapter summary of each of the chapter. So, I just want to mention few things in the chapter summary. So, Prabhupada describes in brief, like, what are the prayers offered in this particular chapter, in the chapter summary. But he mentions one point. All the information in this chapter can be fully realized by one who associates with the devotees of the Lord. Therefore, in the Shastras, it is recommended that one associates with the devotees. This is better than residing on the banks of the Ganges. And then he mentions at the end, the essential lesson of this chapter is that one should get out of the family life and completely take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Just few points I want to highlight in this chapter. So just like, basically Prabhupada is giving the essence is to actually, to give up material attachment and to develop attachment towards the Lord, take shelter of the Lord. Just like when, previously we discussed when Prithu Maharaj met the four Kumaras, that and Prithu Maharaj asked different queries to the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras, they said, Shastreshu iyan eva sunishchito nrinam kshemasya sadriyak vimrusheshu hetu asanga atma vyatirikta atmani dridaratir brahmani nirgunechaya. The four Kumaras said, it has been conclusively decided in the scriptures, after a due consideration, that the ultimate goal for life is detachment from the bodily concept of life and increased attachment towards the Lord. The same conclusion Prabhupada writes here in the chapter summary. Lesson of this chapter is to get out of the family life or the bodily concept of life and completely take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So now, in this chapter, the first the series of prayers are offered by the residents of Bhadrashrama Varsha to Hayagriva, the form of the Lord called as Hayagriva. And then after that, the residents of Ketumala Varsha, headed by Ramadevi, they offer prayers to the form of the Lord called as Kamadev. And then the third set of prayers are offered by the residents of prayers are offered by Vaivasvata Manu to Matsya Avatar, that is the residents of Andhra Varsha. And the fourth prayers are offered to Kurmade, the residents headed by Aryama. So in this way, there are beautiful prayers. So let us go to the first set of prayers offered by the residents of Bhadrashrama Varsha, headed by Dharmaraj, the son of Dharma person, the Bhadrashrava, who is the son of Dharmaraj, to Hayagriva. First verse. Shri Shuka Uvacha Tatacha Bhadrashrava Nama Dharma Sutas Tat Kulapataya Purusha Bhadrashva Varshe Sakshad Bhagavato Vasudevasya Priyam Tanum Dharma Mayim Hayashirshabhidanam Paramena Samadina Sannidapyedam Abhigrananta Upadavanti. Translation.
Lord Hayasira is very dear to the devotee and he is the director of all religious principles. Fixed in the topmost trance, Bhadrashara and the associate offer their respectful obeisance to the Lord and chant the following prayers with careful pronunciation.
So this particular tract of land is Bhadrashrava Varsha and the leader of this community is Bhadrashrava, who is the son of Dharmaraj, Dharma Sutta. So one thing we see here is that, which is actually common in all these prayers, is that the leader of this particular tract of land offers praise to the Lord along with the descendants and the residents of the land and along with his servants. We will see in all of the prayers, the first verse actually mentioned this. That means it is not that sometimes different political leaders they may just privately go to the temple, they may permitly worship the Lord, but then they don't want to actually make it actually public to the whole community, because they feel that these people are religious or they are not secular, like that some criticism might come. But here we see in all these tracts of land, these leaders are worshipping the Lord along with all the servants. They are not feeling some ashamed that, what if those people see me worshipping the Lord? So for them it is not just his private business or only his family business, like for all these leaders, but for Bhadrashrava, worshipping the Lord is not just his private business or the family business, but he worshipped the Lord along with all the residents of the land. So that means like they were able to see that our leader is actually, they were able to see their leader's particular attachment towards the Lord. So that is actually a very important principle, like especially a person in a leadership position, like he should be seen actually worshipping the Lord. Prabhupada gave a simple principle, even for a small family. He said, children have big eyes and small ears. Big eyes and small ears. It means like they will actually take lessons from what they see than from what they hear. So as he emphasized that the parents should be seen actually worshipping the Lord. So children will actually learn from that more than actually when they hear from the parents. So and they are actually worshipping the Lord with great respect and by chanting each of them worship the Lord with a particular mantra glorifying the Lord. They chant the prayer with great attention and also with proper pronunciation. With great concentration or attention and with great respect and with proper pronunciation. So the next prayer, next verse is the particular mantra with which they actually worshipped the Lord Higher Shirsha. So all these forms of the Lord are actually different forms of the Supreme Lord only. So they are worshipping this particular form called as Lord Higher Shirsha or Higher Griva, who is an actually plenary expansion of Vasudev. Badra Shravasa Vuchuhu Om Namo Bhagavate Dharma Atma Vishodhanaya Nama Iti.
The ruler Bhadrashrava and his intimate associates utter the following prayers. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all religious principles, who cleanses the heart of the conditioned soul in this material world. Again and again we offer our respectful obeisances unto him.
So here they are saying, we offer obeisances to the Supreme Lord who is the embodiment of Dharma. Who is the embodiment of Dharma, the reservoir of all the religious principles, Dharma. And then second word is Atma Vishodhanaya. One who is the purifier of the Atma. Or one who cleanses the heart of the conditioned soul in this material world. So the whole purport of Prabhupada is actually, he is writing this purport based on the point that Atma Vishodhanaya, that means the aim of human life is actually purification. And human life is not meant for blind indulgence in sense gratification. And he writes this Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Sattvam. And Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Sattvam. Shuddhyet Yasmat Brahma Saukyam Tvanantam. So human life is meant for obtaining Brahma, the happiness of Brahman, which is unlimited, anantam. He says that practically in the conditioned state, we do not have any perception of what is this unlimited happiness. So the purpose of human life is to perform tapasya in order to purify the self. So here, these two qualities, if you see, Lord is the embodiment of Dharma and the purifier of a living entity. So dharmaya, we can say the reservoir of all the religious principles, or the personification of dharma, the source of all religious principles. And atma vishodhanaya means one who purifies of material contamination. So especially when we read these two words, we see that Krishna is not just the speaker of dharma. Dharma yatma means only the source of all the religious principles. Krishna is the father of dharma, he is the speaker of dharma. But not only the speaker of dharma, but he also performs the menial service of cleaning the heart of a living entity. Atma Vishodhanaya. He performs the menial task of cleaning the heart of a living entity. So these two words describes Krishna's greatness and his sweetness, the sense that he is willing to perform even the very menial task, although he is actually the personification of dharma. One devotee was saying, actually if you see, our heart is actually worse than a septic tank. So to cleanse the heart of a conditioned soul, it means like it means to accept the position, to take up a role which is actually worse than a bangi, or one who actually cleans a toilet, or one who cleans a septic tank. So Krishna is, by using the word Atma Vishodhanaya, we see like Krishna is ready to play such a menial role. So the same similar verse in the first canto, the same two qualities are described in with regard to Krishna Katha. The sages of Naimisharanya, when they tell that Tanna Param Punyam Asamvratartam Akyanam Ati Adbhuta Yoga Nishtam. So they say Tanna Param Punyam Asamvratartam, means please narrate to us the narrations of the unlimited, because they are purifying and supreme. Tanna Param, the Krishna Katha, the narrations of the unlimited are param, they are actually supreme, but they are not only supreme, but they are also purifying. Punyam Asamvratartam, that's how Prabhupada translates, purifying and also supreme. Although Krishna Katha is so great, but it also actually purifies a living entity. Although Krishna is so great that he is the speaker of dharma, but he also purifies the heart of a living entity. So, we'll go to the next verse.
Aho vichitram bhagavad vicheshtitam gnantam janayam himishanna pashyati dhyayam asadyar hivikarma sevitam nirhritya putram pitaram jijivishati.
Alas, how wonderful it is that the foolish materialist does not heed the great danger of impending death. He knows that death will surely come, yet he is nevertheless callous and neglectful. If his father dies, he wants to enjoy his father's property, and if his son dies, he wants to enjoy his son's possessions as well. In either case, he heedlessly tries to enjoy material happiness with the acquired money.
So this beautiful verse, this verse, the next verse also. So here, Bhadrashravasa is saying that Aho Vichitram is actually expressing his wonder about the influence of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord on the conditioned soul, on a living entity. So expressing his wonder about the influence of the illusory energy and the conditioned soul in this third verse and also in the fourth verse. So, Aho Vichitram, how astonishing it is that Bhagavat Vicheshtitam, how astonishing is the pastimes of the Lord, Bhagavat Vicheshtitam. Because here the pastimes of the Lord, it refers to the pastimes of the Lord through his external energy. Gnantam Janoyan Hi Mishanna Pashyati. So although a living entity sees that his father has died, but still a person is actually is so much attached to actually enjoying the property left out by the father, and instead of without thinking that he is also going to die very soon. He is like only concerned about enjoying the property which is left out by the father, and not concerned about preparing his life for death. And not only that, even when he sees his son dies, Dhyayan Asadhyarhi Vikarma Sevitam Nirhatya Putram Pitaram Jiji Vishati. So even when a son dies, a person is actually instead of seeing that death can come at any time, he is actually wanting to enjoy the property left over by the son. And Prabhupada writes a strong sentence. He says, sometimes a person, because of the Rishar energy, he wants to enjoy even the widow wife of the son. Say the materialistic person, sometimes the father of a dead son even enjoys his son's widow. So materialistic persons behave in this way. So this is a typical verse, which is similar to Deha Patya Kalatra Adishatma Saini Sashananyapi Tesham Pramato Nidanam Pashyan Apina Pashyati. Although a person sees that others are dying, but still a person does not prepare for the death. So that means that which is obvious becomes oblivious to a person. He becomes oblivious to the obvious reality. If you see the difference between the word obvious and oblivious, there are only two letters. L-I, oblivious. That which is, person becomes oblivious to the obvious reality. The difference is only the two letters L-I, which means the illusion which is induced by lust. Lust induced illusion. Because of the attachment induced by illusion, or because of the illusion induced, attachment induced illusion, a person becomes oblivious to the obvious reality. So nirhitya putram pitaram jiji vishati. So here, so Prabhupada writes here that materialistic people, they commit so many sinful activities. So why does the Supreme Lord sanction the sinful activities of these people? So he answers by saying, actually Krishna does not want any living entity to act sinfully. And Krishna actually guides, Krishna gives counsel to a living entity through different sources how he should not perform. But still, when the living entity is insistent upon and wanting to perform a sinful activity, then the Supreme Lord actually allows him to perform the sinful activity at his own risk. So in that sense, Supreme Lord never wants the living entity to perform a sinful activity, because the living entity is very much attached to performing a sinful activity. So the Lord actually facilitates him and to perform the sinful activity at his own risk. So we can see this verse is, when Shukadeva Goswami is saying, aho vichitram, how amazing it is. How amazing. So, of course, Prabhupada in his translation, he says, how wonderful it is that the foolish materialist, but actually the foolish, the word, there is no corresponding word in the verse for the word foolish. Prabhupada is becoming more explicit. He is telling that foolish materialist. But Shukadeva Goswami, he is just mentioning how vichitram, how amazing. So it is the euphemism, that sometimes you, instead of calling a person how foolish a person is, explicitly you just mention that, oh, what an amazing that this person is acting like that. So even when Yudhishthira Maharaj spoke that verse, the most surprising thing, the most amazing thing in this world is that people see that everyone is dying, but they think that they are not going to die. So actually what he is meaning is that how people are amazingly dumb, but like in a cultured manner, without using the word dumb, he is just mentioning how amazing. Sukadeva Goswami is also, he is not mentioning what a foolish person, he is not mentioning how foolish people are, instead he is just saying that, aho vichitram, how amazing. But Prabhupada, out of his more great compassion, he is becoming more explicit, he is saying, how wonderful it is that the foolish materialist. So actually in the Vedic culture, like, when you actually criticize somebody indirectly, that creates greater impact than when you criticize directly. I'd say Krishna would also, he says, kutasva kashmalam idam vishame samupasthitam ar ashochyan anushochyastvam. So, Sukadeva Goswami is actually, he's not being very explicit, foolish, he's just mentioning aho vichitram. But Prabhupada is more explicit. So this is this is one of the verses in the same series of seeing but not seeing. Pashyan apina pashyati. So the difference between a materialist and a spiritualist is that a materialist, although he sees but he does not see. But a spiritualist is one, although he does not see with his naked eyes, but still he sees. Although he does not see, but he sees. The famous example of that. You know that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would tell the story of that monkey story. Once there was some group of monkeys who were living near the king's palace, and then one day one old monkey came and told the other monkey that we should immediately leave this place and go to some other place in the forest. Other monkeys asked, why are you saying this? The old monkey said, just yesterday there was one sheep came. Now, what he said, that one monkey went to actually, in the kitchen of the one monkey went to the kitchen of the king, and the cook saw the monkey. No, the one horse, sheep or horse went to the you know that story? Okay, you tell the story. I'll tell the purport.
The case was like that. Old monkey saw that the sheep is going to the kitchen. And that person, he always used to chase away the sheep with a burning stick. And sheep used to run away. So he understood something, and then he caught that we should immediately leave. Because in 1, 2 or 3 days something is going to happen. So again, next day it happened that he chased away, but he was not able to go. So he threw the stick. So it went over the sheep, and the wool of the sheep started burning. Sheep ran towards it home. She entered into the other, all the other stable horses, and all the grass it burned, and all the horses were
injured. When the old monkey said, today the aim of that cook actually missed the sheep, but tomorrow he may actually directly hit on the sheep, and the sheep will actually catch fire, the sheep will actually start running here and there. and the horse stable is nearby, and then he will go to the horse stable and the horse stable will get fire, and when all the horses they will be burnt in the fire, and when the horses are sick, because the horses are very dear to the king, king will actually call for the physician, and the physician will tell the medicine to cure the disease of the horse is that you have to get the liver of the monkey. So then king will immediately tell his soldiers to catch all of us, and we will all be actually killed by the king's soldiers. So before that happens, let us leave this place. The other monkey said, you are too much imagining. Why are you saying like that? And other monkeys completely ignored this instruction. But then of course the same thing happened. But the point is that the old monkey, he was not seeing, although he was not seeing, but he was seeing that. He just saw that the cook actually missed the aim of the sheep. But by that, he could see what is going to happen in the future. So similarly, in the case of a materialist, although he sees, but still he does not see. Although he hears, but he still does not hear. But in the case of a transcendentalist, he doesn't have to see explicitly with his ears, with his eyes. Even when he gets a slight indication, he sees what is going to happen in the future. The transcendental is so alert, a materialist is actually so inattentive that because of his attachment, he is not able to see the obvious reality. But a transcendental is so much alert that even by getting a slight indication of through some source or through hearing or something, he immediately becomes alert. You know the story of the Lala Bapu. Lala Bapu was going in his village, and then some ladies were actually drawing water. So one lady was telling to another lady that, why are you taking so much of time? Time is so short. I have to go and cook. Do it little fast. So Lala Bapu just heard this. Oh, time is so short. So as soon as he heard that, and then he felt, oh, time is so short. And he got so much inspired to renounce, and he immediately actually renounced everything and then went to Vrindavan to perform devotional service. He just heard some other conversation spoken in some context. He didn't hear some Bhagavatam class and some renunciation or something. He just heard some time is so short from the... In one sense, he didn't hear some lecture and renunciation, but he just heard some ordinary conversation, but by that he actually heard what is actually true meaning of the scriptures, and then he developed renunciation and went to Vrindavan. So in this way, we see even the 10th canto, when the cowherd boys, when they go to the brahmanas and they ask for footsteps on behalf of Krishna and Balram. So it is described, iti te bhagavat yachnam shrinvanto api na sushruvuhu. Iti te bhagavat yachnam. Although they heard the plea of the cowherd boys on behalf of the Supreme Lord, although they heard, but they still did not hear. Shrinvanto api na sushruvuhu. Why they did not hear? Because Kshudrasha Bhuri Karmano Balisha Vridha Manina. Kshudrasha, because they were completely absorbed in their petty desires to go to the heavenly planets. They were absorbed in their karmakanda activities. So Balisha Vridha Manina, considering they thought themselves to be highly learned, Vridha Manina, but actually they were actually inexperienced fools. So the same theme, this particular verse. So there is one more point which Vishnu Chakra Thakur writes in this purport. he gives another explanation to this verse. He says that in this particular verse, the residents of Bhadrasa Varsha, they glorify the Bharat Varsha. So how is he saying is that actually in Bhadrasa Varsha and other heavenly planets on the earth, a person would never see the death of his father and his son at the same time. Especially in such a heavenly place, a person would never see the death of the father or the death of the son. So then he mentions, so in these descriptions, they are actually speaking of the inhabitants of Bharat Varsha. They are speaking about the inhabitants of Bharat Varsha, and they are saying, we are actually unfortunate, we are enjoying the results of good karmas, so therefore in Bhadrasa Varsha we are living like animals. But those who are most fortunate have taken birth in Bharat Varsha for attaining practices to get out of this world. So there, even the low-born can easily attain Vaikuntha. And so how can they become bewildered? So this is how they think. It's just traditional meaning he gives. Yeah, what's the point? No, Bhadrashravasa, he is speaking this along with the residents of all the Bhadrashrava and his intimate associates, all of them are actually combinedly saying this verse. So if you see, just like suppose for example, and people go to watch some disaster movie. When you watch a disaster movie, when they see the disaster happening, people cannot see that so many people getting killed. It creates a fear in the heart of a person. So not many people, they want to watch a disaster movie. But even more than that, and even if somebody may want to watch a disaster movie, but nobody would want to be caught in an actual disaster themselves. A person may only want to watch a disaster movie, but nobody would want to actually get caught up in a disaster. But still, very few people realize that they are actually living in a real life disaster. We may actually want to watch a disaster movie, but they don't realize that they are actually living in a real life disaster. He's talking about death. We are living in a real life disaster which is going to end with death. So although we see death happening everywhere, for example in a movie, a villain actually shoots bullets at a hero. He shoots bullets at the top and the sideways and in the bottom. But one time we see hero escapes, although the bullets go everywhere except on. And we may appreciate that, but actually we don't realize that although death is happening everywhere around us, we see almost every day in the newspaper, we hear everything, but still we think that just like the bullet, will never attack the hero, we think that death is not going to come to us. So that is how people are in illusion. So in the case of a disaster movie, when a person is actually watching a disaster movie, in the case of a movie, we are the spectators and we are watching the disaster movie. But in the case of a real life, we are not the spectators, but we are actually the actors in the disaster movie. We ourselves are actually, we are not the spectators, we are actually actors, but we are dreaming ourselves to be victorious. But you are actually the actors in the disaster movie. But why we are not able to see the disaster? Because the reason is that the real life disaster movie is actually happening in a slow motion. Sometimes something is happening very slowly, then you may think that, oh, there's nothing is moving. We may not perceive the change only. Because the real life disaster movie, we are not just the spectators, we are actually the actors. But because it is happening slowly, the time is so imperceptible, we are not able to perceive that we are the actors, but we are dreaming ourselves to be the victors in this movie. So like that. So next verse.
Vadanti Vishwam Kavayos Manashwaram Pashyanti Chadyatma Vido Vipaschita Tatapi Mukhyanti Tavaja Mayaya Suvismitam Krityamajam Natosmitam.
O unborn one, learned Vedic scholars who are advanced in spiritual knowledge certainly know that this material world is perishable. As do others logicians and philosophers. In trance they realize the factual position of this world, and they preach the truth as well. Yet even they are sometimes bewildered by your illusionary energy. This is your own wonderful pastime. Therefore, I can understand that your illusionary energy is very wonderful, and I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
This is even more beautiful verse. This Bhadrashrava is saying, actually, the previous verse he talked about the ignorant person not seeing death. But in this verse he says, actually even the wise people are bewildered. Even those who are learned in the scriptures and those who preach to others, those who actually preach the truth as well, even they become bewildered with illusory energy, and this is your wonderful pastime. And therefore, I simply offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So even the learned people, Adhyatma, Vadanti Vishvam Kavayosma Nashwaram, Pashyanti Cha Adhyatma Vido Vipaschita. Adhyatma Vido means those who have realized the spiritual knowledge, Vipaschita, those who are very learned scholars, although they speak, Vadanti, although they actually preach how the whole universe is temporary, Nashwaram, it is perishable, but still despite that, Mukhyanti, they also become bewildered by your illusory energy, Tava Aja Mayaya. Who unborn one by the illusion energy of you. Suvismitam, this is like extremely wonderful. Like, this is like a, this very amazing. Suvismitam, this act of yours is greatly amazing. Ajam natosmitam, therefore, what I do is I simply offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So this verse is a very important verse. The main point in this particular verse is that Vishnu Chakra Thakur writes a very small purport, because the same point is also captured by Prabhupada in this purport also, at the end of the purport. But the main point in this purport is that Vishnu Chakra Thakur says that even the wise are bewildered, and this is your astonishing action. Therefore, giving up the study of the scripture, I offer respects to you. So those who are really in knowledge, they worship you. So that means, what he is saying is that, Like sometimes, even those who are simply absorbed in reading the scriptures, they can also become bewildered. Then what he is saying that, like, simply reading the scriptures, that is not actually that is not sufficient to protect oneself from the illusory energy. Simply reading of the scriptures cannot offer sufficient protection from the illusory energy of the law. The real real thing which can actually protect from the illusory energy of the Lord is actually worship of the Lord, or devotional service of the Lord, or surrender to the Lord. Say in one class, Sulana Sradhanath Swami Maharaj explained, he said that, something to this point, the effect that reading of the scriptures, they tell you how to actually access the mercy of the Lord. Simply by reading the scriptures, we cannot get the mercy, but they actually tell us how to get the mercy of the Lord. So of course, reading Srimad Bhagavatam is actually, in the sense, it is devotional service only, but still, even in reading devotional scriptures, sometimes we may avoid the service in the name of reading the scriptures. So in that case, that reading of the scriptures cannot offer sufficient protection, because we are actually avoiding the devotional service to the Lord. We are avoiding some service which have been asked or something. So therefore, he's saying, giving of the study of the scripture, I offer respects to you. So the main point of this verse is that, like, taking shelter of the Lord, I offer respects to you. Therefore, I want to worship you. Because sometimes, of course, if a person is reading the scriptures also in the mood of actually taking shelter of the Lord, then it will offer protection, definitely. But sometimes a person can read the scriptures for the sake of getting knowledge, but not in the mood of taking shelter. So then, it may not offer complete protection from the illusory energy. So, the symptom of a person in that sense, in real knowledge, is that he worships the Lord. So if we read the last word in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that, in other words, theoretical knowledge acquired by studying the Vedas is insufficient to protect one from the clutches of Maya. One must strongly adhere to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Then one's position is secure. So just to substantiate the same point, I will just mention few more quotes. Like Prabhupada writes in one purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that, where is that purport? Maybe I think somewhere else it is. So he mentions in the, especially in the Madhavendra Puri section, I'll just summarize it. He says that without being a lover of Krishna, he mentioned the importance of reading the scriptures and also worshipping the Lord. Worshipping the Lord with devotion. Obviously, engaging in some practical service to the Lord. So then, without engaging in the practical service, simply reading the scriptures cannot offer one protection. So to that effect, he mentions that point in the, when I encounter that, I will mention that. I'll read out that. So he says that, basically, reading the scriptures along with some practical devotional service to the Lord, and that will actually offer one sufficient protection from the illusory energy. So, because even, like when we talk about this verse, Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulyena Krishna Nishilanam Bhakti Rutama, this secondary characteristic of devotional service is Jnana Karmadi Anavritam and Anya Bilashita Shunyam. So devotional service should not be covered by Jnana and Karma. So Shivaram Maharaj explains in his book, when we say the devotional service should not be covered by jnana. So first he says, in the case of impersonal jnana, the knowledge about impersonal Brahman, this knowledge is completely opposed to the practice of devotional service. So therefore a devotee should never pursue the knowledge about the impersonal Brahman. But there are the knowledge about the greatness of the Supreme Lord, the knowledge about our own constitutional position, or the knowledge we get by reading the devotional scriptures, that knowledge will never cover one's person devotional service, because that knowledge will deepen our sambandha jnana, and that knowledge will give more conviction about the process of abhideya, san sambandha jnana and prayojana. This knowledge will never cover one's devotional service. But he says, but even in the case of devotional knowledge, even in the case of knowledge from the devotional scriptures, even that knowledge can also cover one's devotional service in two cases. The first case is that when a person avoids some service in the name of reading devotional scriptures, then in that case, even though he is reading devotional scriptures, but his devotional service is being covered by that knowledge. And the second case is that when a person thinks that, oh, because I have read so much, so I am better than others who have not read so much. So when that pride is there, then in that case also, although a person is only reading devotional scriptures, but in that case also his devotional service is being covered by jnana. So basically the point is that one must strongly adhere to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service, then one's position is secure. So there are some more points which I want to highlight from this purport. It's a very important purport. So Prabhupada says, first of all, what is illusion? The illusion means to think that I am the material body and everything in relation to the material body is mine. And this illusion caused by the material energy acts especially on the conditioned souls, but it sometimes also acts on the liberated souls as well. But then what is the definition of a liberated person? Because in some other purport, like mukti means, it is described, mukti means although a person is having all the desires to enjoy, all the abilities to enjoy, although he has all the facilities and capacities to enjoy, but when a person is completely freed from the material desire, that is called as mukti. But in this purport, what Prabhupada gives the definition of mukti is that a liberated person is one who has sufficient knowledge of the material world and is therefore unattached to the bodily concept of life. Similar definition, liberated person is one who is actually unattached to the bodily concept of life, one who understands that how the material world is miserable. Such a person is a liberated person. But even liberated souls come under the influence of the illusory energy. Then how come they come under the influence of the illusory energy? Because of two reasons. One reason is because the association with the modes of nature has been present for a long time. It has been present for a long time because this is like a very, very chronic disease. So therefore, he may also come under the influence of illusory energy. And second reason is that because of inattention. Because of inattention, even a liberated person may come under the influence of the illusory energy. Then after mentioning these two reasons, Prabhupada mentions what is the solution for avoiding fall down. He says the solution for avoiding fall down is that no one should think of himself as a liberated person, immune to the influence of Maya. Everyone should very cautiously execute devotional service by rigidly following the regulative principles. So basically, and then third thing is he says that one should be very attentive. He mentions three solutions. First is that no one should think himself as a liberated person, that I am free from Maya. And second is that one should be cautious of Maya. One should be very cautiously execute devotional service by rigidly following the principles. And thirdly is that one should be very attentive. Little inattention will create havoc. Again, one of my superiors was mentioning that initially, when the Maya enters the life of a devotee, initially a devotee may not have bad intention. So Maya cannot enter the life of a devotee by giving some bad intention. So then how does the Maya enter? Maya will enter through inattention. And then when the Maya causes inattention in the life of a devotee, through that inattention, gradually a person will develop bad intention. His motivation will change. Then he will commit some offenses and then will actually do that. So in that sense, the inattention, inattentive chanting is like the root of all the offenses. So we may not be, Shivaram Maharaj mentions a beautiful point. He says that despite avoiding all other offenses and being attentive to all the details of devotional service, if devotees are inattentive to the Lord's name, their chanting will not bear fruit. If you are inattentive, through that inattention, other offenses will actually take birth. So then he says that these offenders do not experience the ecstasy of the pure name. That means these offenders, he refers to those who are inattentive. Rather, they sow the seeds of bad habits that will soon sprout into weeds of material desire. Means we may be very cautious, cautious with respect to all the details of the different rules and principles, etiquette, etc. But when you are inattentive, through that inattention, the seeds of material desire will take birth. And then you may commit offenses. So then he says, actually, every individual and collective problem in our society has stemmed from this root anartha of inattention. So therefore, there are three points which Prabhupada is explaining how to, the solution for falling down. in one of the class I was hearing, Krishnan and Dhruva was saying, exactly related to this verse. He said, one may say that what is the most amazing thing? Most amazing thing is that although we see death everywhere, but we still see that we will not die. But actually there is something even more amazing than this. Is that although we speak about this fact, but still we are not convinced of that fact. This is actually even more amazing. So that is what actually this verse is saying. And another important point which Prabhupada writes here is that he says that one should be, he gives the example of Bharat Maharaj. Prabhupada gives the example of, we have already seen an example of this in the case of Maharaj Bharata. Was undoubtedly a great devotee, but because he turned his attention slightly toward a small deer, he had to suffer two more births. So therefore, the process of becoming a serious devotee is to be conscious of Krishna and cautious of Maya. So in the case of Bharat Maharaj, he was conscious of Krishna, but because he was not cautious of Maya, he actually fell down. But on the other hand, if you see the example of Saugari Muni, in one sense he was actually cautious of Maya. He chose the place, he chose to perform austerities, is actually the place below the water, under the water. He's like, he didn't want to get any, he didn't want any distraction. That showed actually how much he was conscious of Maya. But because he was not conscious of Krishna, because if he had been conscious of Krishna, he would have been conscious of the superior position of Garuda, who is a devotee of Krishna. So he was conscious of Maya, but because he was not conscious of Krishna, he actually committed an offense and he fell down. Because Bharat Maharaj was conscious of Krishna, but he was not conscious of Maya, therefore he fell down. So Prabhupada writes, then another point he says, that the Lord is always prepared to excuse his devotee, but if a devotee takes advantage of the Lord's leniency and purposefully commits mistakes again and again, the Lord will certainly punish him by letting him fall down into the clutches of the illusory energy. Means Prabhupada is referring to the seventh offense, the holy name. To commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. Means when a person purposefully commits mistakes, taking advantage of the Lord's leniency. If it is the seventh and the eighth offense is to equate the karmakanda activities to the chanting of the holy name. But the seventh offense is actually even worse than the eighth offense. Seventh offense is called as Namno Balat Yaseki Papa Buddha. Because in the case of eighth offense, we are equating bhakti with karmakanda. But in the seventh offense, we are making bhakti subordinate to karmakanda. In the seventh offense, we are using bhakti for a material purpose. We are using bhakti in order to get freedom from sinful reaction, or we are using bhakti in order to get some material benefit. So Vishwanatha Thakur makes this point, especially in the Ajamil section, he makes this point. The seventh offense is actually worse than the eighth offense because we are making bhakti subordinate to the other processes, especially karma. So therefore this offense is called as Namnu Balat Yasyaki Papa Buddhi. And Prabhupada writes in one purport that especially for this offense, in order to get protection from this offense, one should actually hear about, the Lord. That hearing therefore is essential in order to keep oneself strictly on guard against such pitfalls of sins or offenses. Because when we hear about the glory of devotional service, then we will not think that, oh, how can I actually make bhakti subordinate to this? So he mentions hearing is most important in order to guard against such offenses. So we'll go to the next verse. Vishvobhavastana nirodha karmate yakarturangi kritam apyapavrata yuktam nachitran.
O Lord, although you are completely detached from the creation, maintenance and annihilation of this material world and are not directly affected by these activities, they are all attributed to you. We do not wonder at this, for your inconceivable energies perfectly qualify you to be the cause of all causes. You are the active principle in everything, although you are separate from everything. Thus we can realize that everything is happening because of your inconceivable energy.
So I was telling about that particular quote of Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita related to the previous verse. So Prabhupada says that one cannot understand Krishna simply by reading Vedic literature, although all Vedic literature is meant for understanding Krishna. One cannot understand Krishna without being a lover of Krishna. Therefore, along with reading of Vedic literature, Swadhyaya, one must engage in devotional worship of the deity or Archana Vidhi. And together these will enhance the devotee's transcendental understanding of devotional service. So this he writes this purport in regards to actually how Madhavendra Puri This is Madhya Leela, 4th chapter, 137th verse, purport. And Madhavendra Puri was actually taking so much of, he was doing so much, with great detail he was actually establishing the worship of the Gopal deity, and then he arranged for the service of the Gopal deity in that second, in that regard he mentions. So coming to this next verse, Vishvodhavasthana Nirodha Karmate Akartur Angi Kritam Apavrata. So here Bhadrashrava is saying, you are completely detached from the creation, maintenance and annihilation. Vishva Udbhavasthana Nirodha Karmate. Means like, he's saying that you never have the sense of doer, although you are only responsible for creation, maintenance and destruction, but you never have the sense of a doer. Though you are not the doer, but still you accept the actions of creation, maintenance and annihilation. And this is not astonishing for you. In the previous two verses he explained that what is astonishing for him. That he explained about the astonishing nature of the pastimes of the Lord through his illusory energy. In this verse he is saying that what is not astonishing. He is saying that yuktam na chitram. Na chitram means it is not astonishing. It is not wonderful. What is not wonderful? He is saying that you performing creation, maintenance and destruction, it is not at all wonderful. Because you are the cause of all causes. Karya Karane, you are the cause of all causes, and you are Sarvatmani, you are the soul of all, you are the soul of all. So therefore it is absolutely, it is nothing for you to perform creation, maintenance and destruction. It is not at all astonished, I am not astonished by your, these activities of performing creation, maintenance and destruction. So it is reasonable for you. So Vishnu Chakravarti writes in the purport, he raises the question, the Lord is saying to Bhadrashravasa, you say that even the learned men are bewildered by my Maya. That means, this implies that there is a fault in me. You mentioned that even the learned people are bewildered by Maya, this implies there is a fault in me. And the Bhadrashravasa is saying, actually, no, there is no fault in you. Though the Maya, the illusory energy belongs to you, but the Maya is actually your separated energy. So, and that he explains in this verse by saying that you are the non-doer, akartur angikritam. Akartur angikritam means, although you are only responsible for creation, maintenance and destruction, but still you are the non-doer. Because you simply activate the gunas by which like sarga, visarga and all these things happen. The living unity has a sense of being a doer. So because the living unity has a sense of being a doer, the living entity has a, he is contaminated. But in the case of you, you do not have a sense of being the doer. The illusory energy is separate from you. It is not your swarupa shakti. So therefore, you are not contaminated. And he also mentions that we do not wonder at this because your inconceivable energies perfectly qualify you to be the cause of all causes. Next verse. Vedan yugante tamasa tiraskritan rasa taladyondrutu ranga vigraha pratyada devai kavaye biyachate tasmai namaste vitate hitaya iti.
At the end of the millennium, ignorance personified assumed the form of a demon, stole all the Vedas and took them down to the planet of Rasatala. The Supreme Lord, however, in his form of Hayagriva, retrieved the Vedas and returned him to Lord Brahma when he begged for them. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, whose determination never fails.
So in this verse, they are telling that particular pastime performed by this incarnation of the Lord Hayagriva. The Lord Hayagriva, who actually had a form of a half man and half horse, the particular pastime he performed is that he returned the Vedas when the Vedas were actually stolen by a demon. Then the Lord actually returned the Vedas to Brahma from Rasotala at the end of the pralaya, at the end of the yuga. Vedan yugante tamasa tiraskritan. When the yogas were when the Vedas were stolen by a demon who was completely in the mode of ignorance, tamasa tiraskritan, who was actually ignorance personified, and he had taken the Vedas to the Rasatala planet. So at that time you actually brought the yoga, and pratyadade, you returned the yoga and gave it to Kavaye. Kavaye refers to Lord Brahma, because he had actually asked from you for the Vedas. He actually came and returned the Vedas to Lord Brahma. To that Supreme Lord, Tasmai Namaste, I offer my respectful obeisances. And what is the nature of the Supreme Lord? Tasmai Namaste Vitate Ihitaya Iti. Avitata Ihitaya, that means the Supreme Lord whose determination never fails. One whose determination never fails. Or one whose desires always come true. Avitata Ihitaya. Avitata Ihitaya means one whose desires always come true. So Prabhupada writes one more point. Like, in that particular yuga, when this pastime took place, the Vedas were stolen by a demon who was a personified form of ignorance. But Prabhupada is bringing the whole pastime to Kali Yuga by saying, when the people become ignorant, then the Vedas disappear. So he is telling that even in this age also, Vedas may disappear when the people become ignorant. The people of this world become so absorbed in ignorance, Vedic knowledge disappears. So, avitata ihitaya. It means like Lord whose desires always come true. So we know this particular verse. Parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate svabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. Where the Lord has so many energies that whatever he desires, immediately those desires are fulfilled by any of these energies. Just like a simple example with Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj would give, that there was a king of Mysore. When he would want to go on a ride, he would have many sets of cars. And all the different drivers would be actually just waiting which car he will actually take. So as soon as the king would give a slight indication, immediately the driver will get ready and then we will take him on a car. Just like, similarly, like all the energies of the Lord are, they are just waiting for an opportunity to serve the Lord. And then as soon as the Lord desires something, immediately the energies actually carry out. It's like that. Like, Srila Prabhupada also, devotee was taking this example. Prabhupada was somewhere in Mayapur. And he just was having a conversation with the devotees, and he just mentioned, in the course of the conversation, he just mentioned that fruits with black salt will taste very, very nice. Just mentioned that fruits, when they are taken, fruits or watermelon, he mentioned, watermelon when it is taken along with black salt, it will taste nice. So as soon as some of our devotees, so we should immediately get some black salt and watermelon. And what, the black salt was not available. And they went to so many miles to different places, and then they got black salt, and then after one hour or something, they brought the black salt. and some watermelon. And Prabhupada said, but then I didn't ask for a watermelon or something. He was just mentioning that point in the course of the conversation. But when the devotees were so eager to serve Prabhupada, as soon as Prabhupada mentioned that, they felt, they immediately tried to get that in order to actually serve Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, whatever the Lord desires, because there is so much of energy, the energy is actually, they immediately carry out the desires of the Lord. So one whose desires never actually fail. Next verse. So now the first set of prayers are over. Second set of prayers, this is the prayers offered by Prahlad Maharaj in the Hari Varsha. This is a very beautiful set of prayers. Hari Varshe Chapi Bhagavan Narahari Rupe Naste Tad Rupa Grahana Nimittam Uttaratrapi Dasye Tad Daitam Rupam Mahapurusha Guna Bhajana Mahabhagavato Daitya Dhanava Kula Tirti Karana Shila Charita Praladu Avyavadana Ananya Bhakti Yogena Saha Tad Varsha Purushair Upaste Idam Chodaharati.
Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear King, Lord Nisimadev resides in the tract of land known as Harivasa. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I shall describe to you how Prahlad Maharaj caused the Lord to assume the form of Narasimhadev. Prahlad Maharaj, the topmost devotee of the Lord, is a reservoir of all the good qualities of great personalities. His character and activities have delivered all the fallen members of his demoniac family. Lord Narasimhadev is very dear to this exalted personality. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj, along with his servants and all the denizens of Harivasa, worships Lord Narasimhadev by chanting the following mantra.
So Prabhupada writes here that Shukadeva Goswami refers to Narasimhadev because of Prahlad Maharaj. Because of Prahlad Maharaj, he actually refers to Narasimhadev. So, especially it is explained that because of Prahlad Maharaj, his whole dynasty was actually delivered. His character and activities have delivered all the fallen members of his demoniac family. So Prabhupada in the purport, he quotes this verse of Javadeva Goswami that Tavakara Kamalavare Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadishare. So he mentions one interesting point. When Jayadeva Goswami is written as Dashavadara Sotra, so he composed different glorifications, different incarnations of the Lord. But the common thing in all the prayers is that Keshavadrita. Keshavadrita is like a common thing. So that shows that Krishna is the origin, the source of all these forms. The Prabhupada says, Jayadeva Goswami repeats the name Keshava, the original personality of Godhead, in his prayers describing the Lord's different incarnations for different purposes. And another point here is mentioned is that especially the word Avyavadana Ananya Bhakti Yogena. Prahladu Avyavadana Ananya Bhakti Yogena. So Prahlad Maharaj performed uninterrupted and unflinching devotional service. So Prabhupada explains here that as long as when can a person, when you say uninterrupted and unflinching devotional service, the uninterrupted devotional service is actually connected with the other quality, unflinching or unmotivated. So as long as a person is unmotivated, then a person's devotional service can be uninterrupted. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that because Prahlad Maharaj's bhakti is uninterrupted because it was unmixed with karma or jnana. Same point. Because his bhakti was unmotivated, so therefore his bhakti was also uninterrupted. And his bhakti was called as pure because he did not worship any devatas. He only worshipped the Supreme Lord. So next verse is the mantra which was actually chanted by Prahlad Maharaj. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே நரசிம்மாய நமஸ்தேஜஸ் தேஜசே ஆவிர் ஆவிர் பவ வஜ்ரநக வஜ்ரதம்ஷ கர்மாஷயான் கிரசகிரச ஓம் ஸ்வாஹா அபயம் அபயம் ஆத்மனி பூயிஷ்டா ஓம் க்ஷௌம்.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Narasimhadeva, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nose and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitful activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world.
In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj addressing Narasimhadeva, Tejas Tejas, O power of all powers, and is praying to the Lord to appear in his heart in order to actually remove all the material desires. Because Hiranyakashipu represents the personification of material desire. Prabhupada says he is the perfect representative of materialistic life. Hiranyakashipu, one who was actually attached to enjoying gold and a soft bed. So just like Narasimhadeva appeared to kill Hiranyakashipu with the personification of material desire or materialistic way of life, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that you please appear in our heart in order to actually destroy the impressions of karma, or in order to destroy the material desires, so that there will be fearlessness. So Prabhupada writes here, every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to his fullest satisfaction. And he also says, unless a person is completely freed from all material desires, which are caused by dense darkness of ignorance, one cannot fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. And Hiranyakashipu is the personification of material desire. In that, the 11th canto in the episode of Pingala, Sukadeva Goswami speaks this verse that, Ashahi paramam dukkam, nairashyam paramam sukham, yata sanchidya kantasham sukham shushvapa pingala. That ashahi paramam dukkam. It's like material desire is the cause of unlimited distress. And nairashyam paramam sukham. Freedom from material desires is the cause of unlimited happiness. Huh. The cause of greatest happiness. So when a person gives up material desires, then a person can sleep peacefully. So Prahlad Maharaj is praying for the same thing. So, text 9. Svastyastu vishvasya kalaprasidatam dhyayantu bhutani shivam mitodiya manascha badram bhajatadadokshaje aveshyatam no matirapya haituki.
May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in the thought of Him.
So here, Prahlad Maharaj is asking for 4 benedictions, or he is expressing 4 desires in this verse. Say, Svastyastu Vishvasya. He is praying for auspiciousness for the whole universe. Vishvasya Swasti. Let there be auspiciousness for the whole universe. Svastyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam. And so within that he is including, let the whole universe be auspicious. Means he is including that in the universe even the demons are also present. That means there should be auspiciousness even for the sinful. So first benediction we can say there are 2 benedictions he is asking. Let there be auspiciousness for the whole universe, and let there be auspiciousness for even for the demons, or even for the sinful. So why is especially saying that, although we can say that let there be auspicious for the whole universe, in that the demons are also included. But then it's specifically also mentioning that Vishvasya Kalat Prasidatam, that means let the Kala, let the sinful people, let them also be pleased, let them become peaceful. Why is he mentioning this separately? Because the demons, they always give trouble to the devotees. They always afflict the devotees. So he is praying that let all the Kala, the envious people, let them be pleased, let them not be angry. Otherwise, then all the devotees will actually suffer lot of pain. So therefore, he is specifically mentioning that separately. Kala Prasidatam. And then, the next benediction which Prahlad Maharaj is asking is that, okay, even if the devotees are not afflicted, but then, still, there can be mutual animosity or mutual quarrel between other living beings. And when there is quarrel between other living beings, then there can be no auspiciousness. So therefore, he is asking the next prayer. Dhyayantu bhutani shivam mitodiya. That means he is saying, may all living entities meditate on auspiciousness. May all living entities, bhutani, jayantu, let them meditate on auspiciousness, shivam, mitodiya. But then, he's saying, but then, as long as living entities are attached to material enjoyment, how can they be auspicious? They will actually fight with each other, they will quarrel with each other. Therefore, the next benediction is asking is that let the mind of all the living entities, let their minds partake of auspiciousness. Unless their minds are without attachment, without material attachment, how can all the living entities partake of auspiciousness? Therefore, the third line is that manascha badram, let their minds be without attachment, badram. Let their minds become auspicious. But then how can the minds be without attachment unless they meditate on the Supreme Lord? Therefore, the next benediction is asking is that manasya badram bhajatad adokshaje. That means, he is saying that may our minds be absorbed in Krishna. May the minds of all the living entities, may all of our minds be absorbed in adokshaje. Aveshetam nu matirab abhaituki. That means, let it be absorbed. No matirab abhaituki. Without any motivation. Let our minds be absorbed in you without any motivation. We say Prahlad Maharaj is asking for, you can say this, five benedictions. Auspiciousness for the whole universe. And second is that let the demons be pleased, let them not become angry. And thirdly that, let all the living entities meditate on auspiciousness. And fourthly, that let their minds partake of auspiciousness, let their minds become freed from material attachment. And fifth is that, let their minds be absorbed in Krishna without any motivation, ahaituki. These are the five benediction which he is asking. So then one may get the question, if Prahlad Maharaj is praying for all the living entities, and if all the living entities in the universe, if they become delivered, then will the universe become empty? So Prabhupada is also addressing that point by saying that actually one should never worry that the universe will become empty, because there are countless other living entities waiting, and those living entities will come and occupy. The universe will not become empty. So Prabhupada writes it in the last section of the purport, the last paragraph. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in that way, the whole universe would be vacated. But Vishnu Chakravarti says that this is impossible because the living entities are innumerable. another set of living entities will fill the entire universe. So Prabhupada also writes elaborate purport about the nature of a Vaishnava, Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha, that how the devotees actually, they do not ask anything for himself, but they pray to the Lord, how the Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. And he says, and he is praying that let the demons become free from envy. So Prabhupada says, when the result of a person becoming freed from envy is that, then a person becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. The material world is full of envious persons, but if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. So then he says that actually pure devotees also ask for some benediction. And then he quotes Sikshashtakam prayer, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked for this benediction, that Ayyananda Tanuja Kinkaram, please situate me as a servant, that's particularly in your lotus feet, please accept me as your servant. So in this way, pure devotees also ask for some benediction. And what are the benedictions which Prahlad Maharaj asked? That he explains in the next paragraph, that after that Ayyananda Tanuja Kinkaram, the same, all these five benedictions which he mentioned, the same thing Prabhupada is actually elaborating in the purport. So one point he mentions is that, especially in regards to when Prahlad Maharaj is saying that, let the envious people become, let them be pleased, let them give up their anger. So Prabhupada says there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is the snake and the envious human being. But out of the two, the envious human being is actually worse than the envious snake. To transform an envious human being is more difficult. Cannot be pacified by any means. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all the envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. So we'll take a 5 minutes break and then we'll continue from the next verse. he had a long history of him. So we'll go to the next verse. Magaradaratmajavittabandushu Sango yadisyad bhagavat priyeshuna Yaha prana vritya paritushta atmavan Siddhyatya duramnata tendriya priya.
If you do have some attachment, let it be for devotees, whose only dear friend is Krishna. A person who is actually self-realized and who has controlled his mind is perfectly satisfied with the bare necessity of life. He does not try to gratify senses. Such a person quickly advances in Krishna consciousness, whereas others who are too attached to material things find advance very difficult.
So here in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is praying. He is praying for the association of the devotees of the Lord. And it is also praying that, let me not have attachment towards family, wealth, children and other things related to the body. He says that if we have attachment towards the Lord, then all this bad attachment will not take place. So he is praying for attachment to the association of devotees of the Lord. He is praying for attachment to the devotees of the Lord. He said, Sango yadisyat bhagavat priyeshuna. Sango yadisyat means, if we have attachment towards bhagavat priyeshu, devotees, then what happens? Magara darat maja vitta bandushu. Then all this attachment towards wife, children, wealth, etc. will not take place. And then the third and fourth line he says, Yaha prana vritya paritushta atmavan. Atmavan means one who is fully determined. One should be fully determined and he should live simply by begging food that actually reaches to him on its own accord. Prana vritya parit. One should be actually satisfied to eat food whatever he actually obtains, without putting much endeavor. Siddhyat adhura na tatendriya priya. And in this way, siddhyati adhura na tata indriya priya. On the other hand, the fourth line talks about one who indulges in sense gratification. The first two lines he says that, if we develop attachment towards the devotees of the Lord, then the attachment towards wife, children, other things will not take place. And the third line he says that, let us be determined, let us be just simply be satisfied with whatever we actually get. Iha prana vritya. And the fourth line he says, on the other hand, if a person tries to enjoy sense gratification, one who is not controlled in senses, then such a person will reach perfection very slowly. Siddhyati adhuran. Siddhyati means he will achieve perfection. Adhuran. Prabhupada gives the word-to-word translation as. Okay, he says very soon. Siddhyat adhuran na tata. Such a person will actually reach perfection. He will find advancement very difficult, Prabhupada says. Whereas those who are too attached to material things find advancement very difficult. These are the four things which Prabhupada explains in this verse, the Prahlad Maharaj explains in this verse. So, we see the first business of a Vaishnava is to give up the association of persons who are not devotees of Krishna. So, Mahaprabhu defined Vaishnava in different ways. To the residents of Kulina Gram, when they would come to Jagannath Puri, the residents headed by Sati Raj Khan. So each year they ask the same question, how can we householders, how can we attain perfection? Mahaprabhu would say, chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas. And then they would ask the question, like, how can we identify Vaishnava? Mahaprabhu gave three different answers in three different years. But apart from that, he also gave another definition of Vaishnava. One is, that is, asat-sangatyaga ehi Vaishnava achar, one who gives the association of non-devotees. So that's what Prabhupada explains here. So then the second paragraph, he concentrates on the third and fourth line, how one should be satisfied with whatever one obtains. See, he says, quotes patram pushpam phalam toyam, and then he says, why should the menu be unnecessarily increased for the satisfaction of the tongue? Devotee should eat as simply as possible, otherwise attachment for material things will gradually increase. And the senses being very strong will soon require more and more material enjoyment. Then the real business of life will stop. Next verse. So this one point which I just mentioned from the Vishnu Chakrataka's purport. Because some people, they give a wrong interpretation to this verse. They say, in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, if there is association, let it not be bad association, but association with devotees. Some people translate in this manner. But what it means is that, having no association is better than having devotee association. So he says that this is not the right translation, that this suggests that no association is preferable to good association. Then the philosophy of bhakti becomes nullified. So therefore he says that Prahlad Maharaj is not preferring no association, he is preferring association with devotees. He is actually seeking for association of devotees. He is not saying that if there is association, let it not be bad association, but association of devotees. He is not mentioning that no association to be better than association of devotees. Next verse.
Yat sanga labdham nijavirya vaibhavam tirtham mukhusam sprishatam hi manasam Haratyajonta Shruti Birgatongajam Kovaina Seveta Mukunda Vikramam.
With persons for whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, is all in all, one can hear of his powerful activities and soon come to understand them. The activities of Mukunda are so potent that simply by hearing of them, one immediately associates with the Lord. For a person who constantly and very eagerly hears narrations of the Lord's powerful activities, the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, in the form of sound vibrations, enters within his heart and cleanses it of all contamination. On the other hand, all the bathing in the Ganges diminishes bodily contamination and infections. This process and the process of visiting holy places can cleanse the heart only after a long time. Therefore, who is the same man who will not associate with devotees to quickly perfect his life?
So here this verse, Prahlad Maharaj compares the hearing about the glories of the Lord versus bathing in the Ganges. In the bathing in the Ganges, one can cleanse the heart only after a long time. Whereas when we hear the glories of the Lord, it cleanses it of all contamination immediately. So, many times when you go for the yatra, like when I had gone to Rameshwaram, I was remembering this verse that time I was reading this. So Rameshwaram, you know, there's this 21 kundas are the Rameshwaram temple. So devotees, you are so particular that we don't miss out taking bath in a single kunda. But the pandal program started and the lecture started. But I felt, oh, devotees are still roaming around here and there. So I was feeling based on this particular verse, when we take bath in the holy rivers, only after a long time it can actually cleanse the heart. But many times we are so particular about taking bath, but when we hear from the devotees, it can cleanse the contamination immediately, but for that process, we are not so much attentive about that. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes here, Krishna entering into the heart through the ears. He says that Krishna entering into the heart through the ears, especially this word, samsprishatam. Samsprishatam means sipping through the ear. So through the ears, Krishna removes the desires of the mind of those persons who constantly sip the holy water in the form of the Lord's pastimes attained by devotee association. So who would not hear the pastimes of Mukunda? Kovaina Seveta Mukunda Vikramam. The previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj talked about the devotee association. But devotee association, what is the advantage we get? We hear about Krishna's pastimes. So that is described in this verse. When we hear that Krishna's pastimes through the ear, then all the desires in the mind of the person, that is actually eradicated. So therefore Prabhupada explains that all the acharyas strongly recommend that people be given a chance to hear about the Supreme Lord. The more we cleanse the dirt of material attachment from our hearts, the more we will be attracted by Krishna's name. So Prabhupada writes, like another point in the purport is that when the mind becomes cleansed by chanting Hare Krishna, then after that, when a person like reads the literatures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, etc., then a person becomes more and more purified of material contamination. Next verse. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto makad guna manoratena sati davato bahihi.
All the demigods and their exalted qualities such as religion, knowledge and renunciation become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculation and must engage in the service of Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man?
So in this particular verse, he glorifies the process of bhakti or a devotee. When a person performs unflinching devotional service to the Lord, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana bhakti, then all the good qualities of the demigods appear in him. On the other hand, even if a person has some good qualities, but if he is not engaged in devotional service, he is simply hovering on the material plane. Mental plane, mano ratena sati davato bhakihi. So, if you see, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes here, service to Krishna, it completely pleases all the demigods, therefore the demigods live in that place with qualities like dharma, jnana and vairagya. This verse shows that by serving Krishna, all the demigods are also served. Therefore, they appear and manifest their qualities. And another point he mentions is that because some of the demigods, they also have some bad qualities. They are also actually conditioned souls. That means one may think that maybe the demigods will come and recite the person. That means like maybe their bad qualities will also manifest. One may think like that. So he clarifies by saying, the demigods will reside there only with all good qualities and no bad qualities. And he mentions, in the case of a non-devotee, they may reside in their heart along with their bad qualities also. Not only with their good qualities, along with their bad qualities. And he mentions that in the case of the non-devotees, that they do not reside in them constantly. But in the case of the devotees, they constantly reside in the heart of a devotee with their good qualities. In the case of a non-devotee, they do not reside constantly, and not only that, they reside along with their bad qualities also. And another point which Isha Shatapaka says is that the demigods do not dwell constantly with the jnanis. And what is the, when the, even if the demigods reside in the heart of a jnani, what is the thought of the demigods when they reside in the heart of a dhani, in the heart of a jnani? The demigods think, we will die today or tomorrow in the company of these ungrateful people who want to destroy us after getting knowledge from us. Because the jnanis, they just want to merge into the impersonal Brahman, and they want to annihilate their identity. So they feel, oh, these people are ungrateful people. So we will also die along with them if we actually reside with them. And they may take, like, they may get the quality of knowledge from us, and because they are ungrateful, they will destroy us after getting knowledge from us. Because they don't have good feelings towards the jnanis. But on the other hand, what is the attitude of the devatas towards the devotees? So he says, in the case of the devotees, demigods dwell constantly in the devotees, and the demigods, they think in this manner. They say, actually we are like crude iron, being material. We are such materialistic people, we are like crude iron. By contact with Krishna, we become followers of Krishna. Having attained the knowledge of the Lord's form and qualities, these devotees relish the sweetness of the Lord. So with the association of these devotees, we can also cross over the death easily. So this is the feeling they have towards the devotees. That means, like, they are having very good feeling, they are actually grateful for getting the association of the devotees. So, of course, Prabhupada in the purport, he quotes all the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava from the Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, the primary quality is that Krishnaika Sharanam. The other qualities are secondary qualities. So, so one is, if a person takes the devotional service, then all the other qualities automatically develop within him. So one may say, if the main quality is taking shelter of Krishna, then what is the need to mention all the other qualities? So Saswarup Maharaj explains in his book, so the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has mentioned all the 26 qualities, although the primary quality is Krishnaika Sharanam, the reason is that because he wants to show the richness of the Vaishnava's character. In order to glorify a Vaishnava, in order to show the richness of his character, he has mentioned all these qualities, although the main quality is Krishnaika Sharanam. And the second reason why these qualities are mentioned is that, to see that whether we are developing these qualities. Means, like, we have to test ourselves whether we are a Vaishnava or not by the development of these other qualities. The Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita purport, as for advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. And how to test? He mentions that we can judge by these items, these qualities, he mentions that. So these are the two reasons. To show the richness of the Vaishnava's character, and to, second is to test ourselves whether we are actually progressing. So in one parpa in the seventh canto, Vishnu Chakatakur says that bhakti is like the bhakti creeper. Bhakti is like the creeper. Bhakti lata is like the creeper. But for this bhakti to grow, for this creeper of bhakti to grow, we need two things. One is, we have to water, and the land has to be fertile. So Vishnu Chakatakur says, the watering process is a sadhana. But even if you are watering the
the bhakti creeper, if the land is not fertile, it will not grow. And what is that land? He says, the fertile land means, having a fertile land means having good qualities. Having good qualities. So these good qualities make the land fertile, and then when you water the bhakti lata creeper, then it actually grows properly. So in that sense, actually, we'll have to put separate effort also to develop these good qualities. Although this verse talks about this verse talks from the point of view of the Supreme Lord, he actually gives all the qualities of the demigods. But from the point of view of a sadhaka, there should be a separate effort to develop these qualities also. The next verse talks about, the 12th verse talked about how one having bhakti develops all the good qualities. The 13th verse talks about one who does not have bhakti. Harirhi sakshat bhagavan sharirinam atma jashanam ivatoyam ipsitam hitva mahamstam yadi sajyate grihe tada mahatvam vayasadam patinam.
Just as aquatics always desire to remain in the vast mass of water, all conditioned living entities naturally desire to remain in the vast existence of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if someone very great by material calculations fails to take shelter of the Supreme Soul, but instead become attached to material household life, his greatness is like that of a young, low-class couple. One who is too attached to material life loses all good spiritual qualities.
So this verse, he says, Harirhi Sakshat Bhagavan Sharirinam. Sharirinam means everyone who has a material body. So Harirhi Sakshat Bhagavan means the Lord is the soul of all the Sharirinas, all the embodied beings. The second line gives an analogy. Atma Jashanam Iva Toyam Ipsitam. Just like water is the life of a fish. Prabhupada is giving that analogy that just as aquatics always desire to remain in the vast mass of water, just like water is the Iva Toyam Ipsitam, just like water is the life of a fish, the Supreme Lord is the life of all the embodied beings. He is the soul of all the embodied beings. And the third and fourth line explains, Hitva Mahamstam Yadi Sajyate Grihe. Yadi means, if a person gives up that Supreme Lord, Mahan, if a person gives up that great personality, Mahan, then what happens? And after giving up, if he becomes attached to Sajyate Grihe, if he becomes attached to house, then what happens? Tada Mahatvam Vayasa Dampatinam. Then his greatness, Mahatvam, his greatness will be reduced to only the period of youth in which the husband and wife appear beautiful. Mahatvam Vayasa Dampatinam. Then his only greatness is the time when youthfulness manifests in a husband and wife. So, that's how it is translated. So, Prabhupada also says the same thing. If someone, by material calculation fails to take shelter of the Supreme Soul and becomes attached to material household life, hitva mahamsam edi sajyate grihe, then his greatness is like that of a young, low-class couple. Prabhupada is more actually graphic. Young, low-class couple. One who is too attached to material life loses all good spiritual qualities. And Prabhupada gives one more analogy in the purport. So he says that, like when crocodile actually has strength when it is actually living in the water. So similarly, as long as the living entity is connected with the Supreme Lord, then he is actually situated in his real greatness. The greatness of the living entities can be perceived when he is in the spiritual world, engaged in the service of the Lord. Just like crocodile is very strong when it is in the water. And then he says the same, the other part of the analogy is that when the crocodile goes out of water, the crocodile loses its strength. So similarly, many people, although well educated in the knowledge, become attached, knowledge of the Vedas, they become attached to family life. And they are compared to crocodiles out of water, because they become devoid of all spiritual strength. And their greatness is like the greatness of a young couple. That means, only in their youth, they are actually attracted to each other. They want to please each other. But once they grow old, nobody has that affection towards each other to actually serve each other or please each other. So that is a point which is explained. So in the 14th verse, in the last verse, Prahlad Maharaj is giving an instruction for the demons. As I mentioned in the summary of this chapter, Prabhupada explained that the essence of this chapter is give up attachment to the family life and develop attachment to the Supreme Lord. The same theme, especially in this 14th verse, it is there. Tasmat rajo raga vishada manyu manas prukha bayadainyadi moolam itva griham samsmriti chakravalam narsimha padam bhajata kuto bayamiti.
Therefore, demons give up the so-called happiness of family life and simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord Narsingadev, which are the actual shelter of fearlessness. And entanglement in the family life is the root cause of material attachment. Indefatigable desires, moroseness, anger, despair, fear, and the desire for false prestige, all of which result in the repetition of birth and death.
So therefore he is saying that one should give up family life, which is the root cause, samsmriti chakravalam, which is the root cause of cycle of birth and death. And he is also mentioning rajo, raga, vishada, manyu, give up, like rajo, rajogun, attachment, vishada, lamentation, manyu, anger, and manas, prukha, bhaya, give up fear and mana, like says that the desire for false prestige, etc. And then what one should do? Narsimha padam bhajata akuto bhayam. Worship the feet of Narsingadev, which is the abode of fearlessness. So next, can be the translation of the next verse.
Continued. In the tract of the land called Ketumala Varsh, Lord Vishnu lives in the form of Kamadev only for the satisfaction of his devotees. These include Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, the Prajapati Samvatsara and all of Samvatsara's sons and daughters. The daughters of Prajapati are considered the controlling deities of the nights, and the sons are considered the controllers of the days. The Prajapati's offsprings number 36,000, one for each day and each night in the lifetime of a human being. At the end of each year, the Prajapati's daughter become very agitated upon seeing the extremely affliction disc of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus they all suffer miscarriages.
So now the next set of prayers in the Ketumala Varsha, headed by Ramadevi, Lakshmi Devi, along with the Prajapati Samvatsara and his different sons and daughters. Prajapati Samvatsara, that means like the Prajapati in charge of year, and he has 360 multiplied by 100, that many sons and daughters. Basically, for every day, like day represents his son and night represents his daughter. So in a year there are 360 days and 360 nights. So there are 360 and then there are 100 years. So 360 multiplied by 100. So that many sons and that many daughters. These are all the actually presiding deities of the different days. And Prajapati Samvatsara is the presiding deity of year. So Lakshmi Devi is offering these prayers to Kamadev along with them. So here Prabhupada writes an interesting purport. He says Kamadeva, his body is not, although this Kamadeva is Vishnu Tattva, his body is not spiritual but material. And Lord Vishnu as Pradyumna or Kamadeva accepts a material body, but still he acts spiritually. It does not make any difference whether he accepts a spiritual or a material body. He can act spiritually in any condition of existence. So Mayavadi philosophers regard even Lord Krishna's body as material, but their opinions cannot impede the spiritual activity of the Lord. So there's nothing more explanation is there, but Prabhupada is saying, that his body is not spiritual, although his body is material, but he acts spiritually. 46. So next verse describes how Kamadev, he actually pleased Lakshmi Devi by moving with a gracious glance. And he pleased Lakshmi Devi with his gracious glance and with his mild smile and by the raising of his eyebrows. In this way he pleases Goddess of Fortune, thus he enjoys his transcendental senses. Yeah, Prahlad Maharaj is actually teaching them also, and he is giving instruction and he is worshipping us in that. Yeah. Narsingadev is the, I think so. There's a proper pramana you can, because these are all eternal forms of the Lord, no? Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Prabhupada mentions in the conversation. Okay. Oh, okay. We'll go to the 17th verse. Can you read the 17th verse?
Accompanied during the daytime by the sons of the Prajapati, the predominating deities of the days, and accompanied at night by his daughters, the deities of the nights, Lakshmi Devi worships the Lord during the period known as Samvatsara in his most merciful form as Kamadev. Fully absorbed in devotional service, she chants the following mantras.
So it's described how Lakshmi Devi, she is fully absorbed in worshipping the Lord by chanting the mantra. So here especially it's described that Tad Bhagavato Maya Mayam. Maya Mayam means Prabhupada translates as one who is full of affection for the devotees. So in the purport he just explains his word Maya Mayam by giving four different meanings by quoting different acharyas. The first meaning is that one who is very affectionate toward the devotees. And second meaning is that one who is deeply merciful, Kripa Prachuram. And third meaning, second meaning is given by Jiva Goswami, third meaning is given by Virraghava Acharya. Third meaning is that when one is very affectionate due to an intimate relationship, one is described as Maya Maya. And the fourth meaning given by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is that Maya Maya, it can also be split as Maya Amaya. Maya Amaya, that means Amaya can refer to actually disease. So Maya Amaya means one who removes the disease of illusion on a conditioned soul. It's like especially the fourth meaning shows the Lord's affection towards the conditioned living entities by saying that how he removes the disease of illusion, always eager to deliver his devotee from the clutches of Maya and cure him of his disease caused by the illusory energy. These are the four meanings given for Maya Maya. So you can read the 18th verse translation. 18th verse is the mantra which
let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishikesh, the controller of all my senses and the origin of everything. As the supreme master of all bodily, mental and intellectual activities, he is the only enjoyer of their results. The 5 sense objects and 11 senses, including the mind, are his partial manifestations. He supplies all the necessities of life and which are his energy and thus non-different from him. And he is the cause of everyone's bodily and mental prowess, which is also non-different from him. Indeed, he is the husband and provider of necessities for all living entities. The purpose of all the Vedas is to worship him. Therefore, let us offer him our respectful obeisances. May he always be favorable toward us in this life and the next.
So here, Lakshmi Devi is chanting this mantra to show the merciful nature of Kamadev. And she says that other worshippers should meditate on meaning of the mantra according to their own relationship with the Lord. So she is chanting this mantra with her relationship with the Lord, as like she is considering the Lord as a husband. And she is saying others should chant this mantra according to their relationship with the Lord, as a servant or as a friend, like that. So, and Vishnu Chakravarti mentions one more point, that Lakshmi Devi is not using the word Deva because since it will be improper to mention the full name of her husband. So he just mentioning Kantaya or Kamaya. She is not using the full name Kama Devaya. See, she says that another person should meditate on herself as the maid servant of Lakshmi and chant this mantra. And that is the tradition. Lakshmi Devi is chanting this mantra considering the Supreme Lord as the husband. But if somebody else is chanting this mantra, one should consider oneself as a maid servant of Lakshmi Devi and then chant this mantra. So he is mentioning this one. And for this verse, Prabhupada says, this verse explains how the Lord expands his mercy. The word Maya Maya is further explained in this particular verse, how the Lord expands his mercy. So especially different words are used that Chandomaya, Annamaya, Amritamaya. Chandomaya means the Lord, the personified Vedas. Annamaya is the personified food. Amritamaya is the personified nectar. Sarvamayaya, the form of all forms. And Vojase, Balaya, Kantaya, Kamaya. He is the energy of Chitta, energy of the senses and energy of the body. By these words we can understand how the Lord expands his mercy. So Prabhupada writes one more point. He says one should chant this mantra even after liberation. Therefore he quotes this verse, Haradam Kirtayantoma. One who worships the Lord even after liberation, such a person is called Nitya Yukta Upasaka. Now we will quickly go through just the prayers of Lakshmi Devi.
Striyo Vrataistva Rishikeshwaram Swato Hyaradya Loke Patima Shasatenyam Tasamnate Vai Paripantya Patyam Priyam Danayum Shriyato Swatantra.
My dear Lord, you are certainly the fully independent master of all the senses. Therefore, all women who worship you by strictly observing vows, because they wish to acquire a husband to satisfy their senses, are surely under illusion. They do not know that such a husband cannot actually give protection to them or their children, nor can he protect their wealth or duration of life, for he himself is dependent on time, fruitive results and the modes of nature, which are all subordinate to you.
So here Lakshmi Devi is talking about the nature of women who worship the Lord with mixed bhakti. So she says, Striyo Vrataistva Rishikeshwaram Svato. You are actually Rishikesha, that means controller of the senses. Striyo Vrata, many women, they performing Vrata, they worship you, Rishikeshwara. But for what purpose? Hyaradya loke patim asha satonyam. They worship you in order to get a husband other than you. Anyam, asha sate anyam. Anyam. So, tasam natevai paripantyapatyam. So, they are asking for a husband other than you. But what is the nature of these other husbands? Tasam natevai. Paripanti. Paripanti means able to protect. They are not able to protect. Nate paripanti. Apatyam. Apatyam means they are not able to protect the children. Priyam. And they are not able to give proper wealth. They are not able to protect their wives. And they do not have proper lifespan. Dana, ayu. Because what is the reason? They are asvatantra. They are dependent. They are dependent on the Supreme Lord. So she is actually taking pity on these women who worship the Lord with a desire to get a husband other than the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport here. Says that in the material world, a so-called husband is dependent on the control of the Supreme Lord. There are many examples of a woman whose husband, being dependent on the result of his own fruitive actions, cannot maintain his wife, children, wealth, etc. or her duration of life. And then finally he says, actually the only real husband is Krishna. And the gopis, they had full realization that Krishna is a real husband. So therefore they rejected their material husbands and accepted Krishna as a real husband. So he says that this instruction is not just meant for the women. It is meant for all living entities. Because every living entity is Prakriti, female by nature. So the principle he is saying is that every living entity should accept Krishna as their real master or real protector. So one may say, does it mean that so no women should get married or something? Like Prabhupada said, actually all men should...